Squee!
That is an amazing way to start this episode. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the 221st episode of the Loose Screws podcast. I am your host, Nurgle. Joining me tonight are Commander Blooming Wind.
Hello.
Commander Grover Kiwi from Down Under.
Hello.
Commander Larkshadow.
It's February 15th, 2024.
It's 33-0-10.
And last but not least, joining us from an extended tour of the subcontinent, Commander Teflon.
Jesus, it's 33-10.
33-0-10.
It's not 0-10. Who said that?
It's 33-0-10.
Grover said that.
Who made that determination?
We all just did while you weren't here.
Yeah, get the fuck out of my seat.
Sorry. I just want to clarify, by subcontinent, do you mean venereal disease?
Wouldn't you like to know?
No, I would not. Start. I really would not.
Then you better close your ears.
And some other things.
Close your cloaca.
Hit that guitar.
And away we go. All right, Commander Blooming Wind, what's going on in your neck of the woods?
Oh, well, I've had a doozy of a week. I spent Monday afternoon in the emergency room with Mrs. Blooming Wind, which was a lot of fun. So she's had this nagging thing that's been kind of going on for a couple of years. And over the weekend, she was feeling worse. And then she went to her new primary care doctor, for a follow-up visit. And while she was there, her blood pressure was 80 over 50, which is really, really low. Yeah. And she looked like crap. So her doctor, who's a friend of ours, called me up and just said, hey, you need to get over here and get your wife to the emergency room, or I'm calling an ambulance and getting her to the emergency room that way. So I had left work and had to make sure everyone was okay with me leaving work because I had clinics starting. So they were able to get that rescheduled, and I just hightailed it out of there. So I bring her to the emergency room, and friend of mine is working triage, so he got us checked in really quick, and then the nurse pops an IV in her, hooks her up to the monitor in the room, and she's feeling nauseous and a little puny, and at that point, we're waiting for the doctor to come in, and we're waiting, and we're waiting, and we nod off watching TV, waiting. And two and a half hours later, the med student shows up.
Mm.
And I knew the med student, and he's a good med student, but I'm kind of like, I've been waiting 2 hours.
I bet you loved that.
Oh, but I'm like, 2.5 hours, and the med student shows up? So we're like, okay, something's going to happen, because her doctor put in instructions. She wanted my wife to get fluids. She wanted very specific lab work to be done. She wanted a right upper quadrant ultrasound done. So we tell all this to the med student and tell them kind of what's been going on, big picture, and just how she's acutely felt like crap the last couple of days. And so he leaves. An hour and a half later, the nurse comes in, still hasn't addressed her nausea, still hasn't hooked her up to fluids. And we're like, we've been waiting for 4 hours, and there's been no doctor. And if I'm called to the emergency room as the consulting cardiologist and I'm not here in a minute, I'm getting written up. So I would love for somebody to show up and check in on us, at which point the entire entourage comes in. And, the good news was that her lab work was normalizing from 10 days prior, because she was on a medicine or an autoimmune condition for her scalp called Dapsone. And that medicine does a whole bunch of nasty crap to your blood work. And so she was like, you know what? I'm done with that. Those labs normalized. And then they do the ultrasound and they find a kidney stone.
Oofed.
But the kidney stone is not causing the problem, but it's there. Yeah. And when we get her urinalysis back and they said it was normal, we're like, well, what about the crystals? What about microscopic blood? Because she always has microscopic blood in her urine, just a little bit. She's had it for 20 years. And they're like, nope, none of that. And then did they send us home? because there was quote unquote nothing wrong. And I'm like, okay. So we get her home, and then her doctor gets some more lab work done. And it turns out she had norovirus, which is like a GI bug you normally get on a cruise ship or something.
Yeah.
Right. And so that was what was acutely bothering her over the weekend, was this GI bug that, you know, that really hadn't manifested itself exactly, other than the I don't feel good stage of it. So we figured that out. And then a repeat your analysis the next day was like, oh, there are the crystals from the kidney stone. Oh, there's the microscopic hematuria that we were expecting. So they mixed up her urine on top of it.
Yeah,
so, they had to. You know, and
so it was just a perfect storm of bull crap.
Oh, it was a perfect storm of bull crap. And then the next morning, Tuesday, when I tuned into Clinical Management Conference, which is our weekly case conference, it was a M&M on all the problems going on in the ERs across America with them being overtaxed and being overburdened. And I'm sitting and watching this, and I'm like, yeah, and you guys couldn't rub two nickels together. Come on. You know, when I brought my wife in. So,
back in my hospital days, because I worked at a level one trauma center, and it always amazed me that the people that would show up to that ER in varying degrees of, I just have a cold, and then turn around and complain about, you know, the 8-hour wait to even get back and see a doctor. It's like, did you not see the 400 other people that were here? Yeah, yeah, the people that came in with a gunshot understandably went ahead of you, but all ERs go through that. They just get people use them as primary care. So many people show up, they get flooded.
Yeah. No, oh, I mean, man. To be fair, we were using it to make sure she didn't have an acute gallbladder that needed to be removed or something because of what the doctor saw in the office. But I mean, they could have moved a little quicker in the sense it really wasn't that busy. And, you know, it was one of those things where it's just like, okay, this is somebody who you can get in and out and clear the room if nothing's going on. So you can get someone else in faster. So it was kind of, you know, they were not efficiently turning over the rooms.
Well, yeah, I had a similar experience in my own ER. 10, 12 years ago, my father-in-law shot himself in the leg, which is a whole story in and of itself, which we're not going to go into here. So we take him to the ER, and we ended up being in there for hours before I finally got pissed off enough and went to the head nurse, who I literally went to high school with and I worked with for 20-something odd years, and said, hey, we got to rattle some chains here because this is getting ridiculous. Only to find out 30 minutes later that medicine and trauma surgery were arguing back and forth over who was going to take him. Because the trauma surgeons didn't think it was severe enough for them. And general medicine was like, well, he's got to have some kind of surgery, so he's yours, dude.
It's a gunshot wound. Go to trauma.
To be entirely honest, it was not a severe gunshot wound. However, it was a gunshot wound. But trauma didn't want him because, and I quote, it's not severe enough.
That's right.
Yeah, trauma's over there. Like, next time use a 4-bore.
That reminds me, I had a friend tell me one time about a ER visit he had. And he said he ended up having like pneumonia, and his lungs were just filling up with fluid, and he was just like sitting there in the waiting room, and he was like just kind of like passing out and then waking up and passing out. He said, and there was a guy sitting across from him who had like a finger in a cup of ice. He said he closed his eyes. He said the next time he opened them, he said that the ice was water.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah, we had one of those situations with trauma when I was a resident, where a homeless guy was riding a bike, got hit by a bus, was brought into the ER. They intubate him, sedate him, do the whole primary survey, scan him. Nothing's wrong with him. He's fine, right? Like, he just had some bruises and scrapes, but
lucky bastard.
And nothing that needed to even be admitted to the hospital, except they just intubated and sedated this guy. So he's on a ventilator. So they call the medical intensive care unit and they're like, hey, we got an admission for you. And we're like, well, what's the story? And they tell us, and we're like, why isn't he going to the trauma service? Well, there's nothing wrong with him. Like, they intubated him. I'm like, what are we supposed to do?
Why?
Babysit him until the sedation wears off and then extubate him. And I'm like, you put it in, you idiot.
Yeah. And
medicine lost that turf battle.
Yeah.
So he ended up being my patient.
My favorite ER story, and one that's going to go in the book eventually, was there was a guy who showed up to our ER with a dead raccoon in a bag. I'll let that sink in for a minute. So it turns out that 2 weeks prior, he lives out in the country. He sees raccoons in the backyard all the time. 2 weeks earlier, he's been feeding these raccoons, one of them bitting. He came to the ER. He got rabies shots. Fast forward to that morning. He's on the back porch. He's having his coffee. He sees this raccoon going across his yard, shoots it, puts it in a bag, and brings it to the hospital so we can test it for rabies. Well, one, we don't do that. And two, if it doesn't have rabies, what are we going to do? Go back and take the rabies shots out of you?
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's not reversible, buddy. And there's no guarantee that's even the same raccoon. But
I love this so much.
To be honest, I thought you were going to say that he bit the raccoon taking it for the raccoon to get shots.
Dude, I guarantee you that's happened somewhere.
Yeah. Florida.
Just Florida, probably. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Glover, what's going on in your neck of the woods?
I've just been busy. I'm actually still on work time, so I'm cheating.
Right.
But it's Friday afternoon.
Yeah, you're in tomorrow. We're having a cheeky podcast.
Yeah. That can be a euphemism too. Yeah, no, I've just been being a girl dad. So I'm sitting here with nail polish on my fingers after my girl decided to give me a spa yesterday.
Awesome.
Right before me and my wife went out for dinner. So I had glittery foundation or something on my face and made a great sight. At least I took off the lipstick.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I've got two boys. I only get to do that with nieces. So.
You lie.
It's still fun.
Yeah. So yeah, I took her for a daddy daughter day last Saturday and spent far too much money. And so wifey and I had a dinner out last night, first time in a while. We went walking around the shops and ended up spending $900 here on a couple of pair of gold earrings and me and some Lego.
Damn.
Nice. Yeah, so now I have to make sure I don't get fired for those Lego podcast.
Yeah, he ran up some bills there.
He says on a podcast.
So what was the ratio of gold earring to Lego?
There's the question.
Here's a funny thing. So walking to the toy store, because I'd seen that a similar one had a kit that was retired and no longer. And so saw it. So, yeah, they've got it. $170. Nice. Said to wifey, this is kind of a nostalgia kit, but I'm not too sure if I'll build it or if in a year I'll sell it because it's going to be really popular. And in fact, like I bought it for $170 and already those kits unopened for sale on our kind of eBay version for about $230 to $300. So
nice I'll make money
straight away.
Yeah.
So,
wait, what's it a kit of?
It's the Galaxy Explorer. So the old Lego space kind of retro.
Cool. Yeah.
Oh man.
Oh, that's awesome.
I never had it as a kid. Yeah. My cousins who were wealthy had it and I always kind of lusted after it. So, and then we went walking. We went to the department store. She found some earrings, some gold earrings, and then spent about $400 on gold earrings. So I said, well, since you've spent that, can we go back to the Lego store? And I bought that June Ornithopter.
Ooh, nice.
Wow.
Yeah, so tomorrow we've got no power in our house. Our power board's getting upgraded and modernized. So she's wifey's going to build a Lego botanic set that we got for her for Christmas, some flowers in it, and I'll be building the June Ornithopter.
Nice.
Wow, that Galaxy Explorer brings back memories from a long time ago.
Yeah.
I had one of those when I was little. And
so did I.
My son has some of the pieces from it because my salvaged old Legos made it into his free build box. So,
wow.
I still have fragments of that Galaxy Explorer are in his box.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's me.
Cool. All right, Lark Shadow, what's going on over there?
Well, I never had the Galaxy Explorer as a kid, but I did make many a Wish.com brand style Galaxy class Enterprise out of whatever Legos I had available. It looks the same, but it'll only do about warp one and a third. So,
and a third. Yeah, the gearing is off. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. You don't want to let Jordy see it.
Yeah.
Anyways. It's honestly not been a bad week, but it hasn't been a good week either. It's just sort of one of those time is passing weeks for me, if that makes sense.
Time passed slowly for me this week, so.
Yeah, fair. Nothing really interesting was honestly going on for me. Just paying bills and working, honestly. And I haven't had a chance to play Elite at all because I've been exhausted until like yesterday when I finally got a great night's sleep.
Well, cool. All right, Teflon, catch us up on your corner of the world.
Oh, man. I don't even know where to start.
Well, we know you've been hanging TVs today.
No, that wasn't today.
Oh. Work with me, man.
I did hang TV above my computer desk for another monitor. So,
nice.
And it looks great.
Yeah, I think I'm going to end up doing that too.
It's awesome. And let's see. I still watch a lot of Japanese wrestling. Like
sumo or like the WWE style?
Like pro wrestling, not sumo wrestling.
Nice.
Yeah. Though I might. There's a free like sumo thing on Fight TV.
Really?
That came out. Yeah. Like a free event. And so
sumo's awesome.
I'm gonna check it out when I get the time.
Hell yeah. Sumo's amazing.
But yeah, there's that. We did our bathroom remodel. I don't remember if I mentioned that before. I think I did last time I was on.
I think you were beginning it. Or
yeah, you were beginning way. It.
How I fell through the floor in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And that kicked everything off. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we finished all, we got all that finished. I got decorations up. I'm going to order some more decorations.
Weren't you going for like a jungle theme?
Yes. It was supposed to be like a Jurassic Park kind of like jungle. But we found some old like, my wife found this like old like wash basins type sink that she wanted to put in there, and it was very like Victorian looking. So we went for more of a Tarzan kind of jungle.
Ah, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah,
it fits.
So yeah, I still get the vines and stuff. So we're still gonna finish hanging some stuff in there for that. But we also did a small remodel on kitchen stuff where we. Got some new cabinets and painted some cabinets and things like that. And we installed a new sink, a new kitchen sink. That's really cool. Instead of two bays, it's one big bay.
Yeah.
It has like a shower setting. And
it's really like what's that called? Farm style sink.
Farmhouse sink. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Except this is like, has like a lot of like different features to it. It's really neat.
Nice.
Ooh, cool.
That may be in my future. I've got an ancient, dilapidated sink in the kitchen that we've been talking about replacing for years.
Well, there you go. I can't. It's really neat when you get one that has like actually has like features.
Yeah,
I didn't know you could do that.
My house was built in the mid '80s, and I'm reasonably sure the sink that's in there is original.
Let's see. What else have I been up to? Everybody in the house has COVID.
We're getting
over COVID.
Oh, then congratulations.
Yeah.
We just can't get the fevers to go below 99. Oof. But like everybody's acting like, or they like they go below 99, but we can't get them to stay. And so the kids can't go back to school until we can get that.
Right.
But I mean, like other than that, everybody's acting normal, like lethargic or anything. Really, any issues?
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Are you sure it isn't your thermometer?
We thought about that, but we've used multiples.
Oh, okay. Well, that narrows it down.
Is your kid's school 24 hours fever-free and they can go back?
Yeah.
Okay, good, because the CDC is about to update their guidelines to that. And I was like, kind of like, it's about freaking time.
Right.
But
wait, I'm glad they weren't already?
No, I saw a news article that they were formally going to be making that recommendation, finally, because it's kind of been relegated to cold status as far as mortality and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, yeah, okay. You know, because like at work for us, if you're COVID positive, you're gone for 5 days.
Yeah.
I'll just see you. And I mean, the hospitals, I think, are going to stay that way for a little while because you can really mess somebody up who's immunosuppressed.
They kind of have to.
Yeah. So, but like the rest of the universe is going to be, you know, I mean, I think they're officially going to be making it 24 hours fever free.
With maybe some masking requirements after that for hospital. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So we've come a long way in what, 4-ish and change years.
Yeah.
Or actually, we're coming up on right about 4 years, aren't we?
Yeah. March says it'll be four years.
Yeah, damn.
And we went from a virus that's 10 times deadlier to the flu to much less deadlier than the flu in 4 years.
We now have something that exists in between cold and flu.
Yep.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
Yep.
To crazy go,
stuff you live through.
Yeah, well, and to go from, you know, we're all going to die to, I have COVID.
Yep.
In the span of 4 years, that's just amazing. Absolutely amazing.
I mean, we're probably still all going to die, but.
Well.
Speak for yourself. I plan to achieve lichdom.
Well, sooner or later, I guarantee it.
I'm with Blooming Wind.
Yeah, that sounds like a worthy goal. I'm down with that.
My foot three will be Mountain Dew can.
What was that?
I'd be a great lich.
You would be. All right, I guess we're down to me then, aren't we?
What's up, Nurgle?
Hey, Nurgle.
All right.
You're the community wizard.
I want to stress that the events I am about to describe are literally the last 5 days.
Oh, this is going to be good.
I've been out of circulation for a couple of weeks because of Mardi Gras. So Mardi Gras wrapped up Tuesday. So on the Mardi Gras front, Sunday night, there were two shootings involving three people and a stabbing. Tuesday night, there were two shootings and a drunk driver who ran into one of the sweepers in the cleanup group. Monday night yet. And Tuesday night was gunshots. I haven't heard yet if anybody actually got hit, but there was gunshots that caused a minor panic. And another drunk driver running into a dump truck. So that was Mardi Gras. Tuesday morning before the parade, I took a $13,500 hit because my HVAC system died.
Ooh.
It turns out that when we had the interior or the inside unit of our AC replaced, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, maybe a little bit more, the guy who put in a system too big for our air return And so it's been struggling and finally died and took the control board and the thermostat and everything with it.
Rip.
Tuesday morning, I had a crew of guys in here, and the heater has, we have a gas heater, which is, again, probably original to the house. With the control board gone, they couldn't get parts. All of that had to be replaced, too. So, yeah, new HVAC, nice digital thermostat, and a whole bunch of money that I did not have, which was fun. That was fun.
Ouch.
It sounds fun. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I loved every minute of it. And, you know, my wife was calling me Monday while we were getting ready to start the parade because all of this was going on and she was on the phone with people and she's like, this is how much it's going to be. What do you think we should do? Well, it's not like we have a choice here. We're not going to roll into summer in Mobile, Alabama without air conditioning.
I was going to say that the correct response to that is we burn to death in July.
Exactly. I mean, it's not like we have a choice here. So let's do it. So that's going to be fun, but at least it's done now. And I probably should not have to ever worry about that again. At least that's what I'm telling myself so I can sleep at night. And then Tuesday night, while I was at the parade, my wife went and met some people at an animal rescue and I've got a dog.
You have a co-pilot?
Yes, I have an 8-month-old Australian Shepherd named Samantha. We're calling her Sammy.
Pics or didn't happen?
There are pics in Chig Chat. I put them up there when we started.
I'm going to go look right now.
And I have 7 cats and I have a dog. And there is a surprising amount of harmony in my house.
Oh my gosh, she is so cute.
She is such a birdie girl.
Is she a miniature Aussie or no?
You know, I don't know.
I mean, that's fair. They look exactly the same, so.
But she's only 8 months old, so she's not quite full grown, but she's close. And I don't know what the difference between a miniature and a full size is in terms of size.
So a miniature is about the same size as like a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, maybe a little smaller.
Oh no, she's a full size then.
Yeah, and a full size is like the size of a heeler. It's like a dog.
Yeah. She's that size. So she's a full size. And she's still getting adjusted because, like I said, we've had her since Tuesday night. She's actually getting along pretty well with the cats. She wants to get close to the cats. They're still not real fond of that. She got too close to one of them tonight, and she's got a nice cut on the side of her snout.
Well, she got stomped. See, the issue is she knows that the cats are the ones that are actually in charge, but the cats don't know that they're in charge of her too yet. So that'll come.
When we were talking to the people, when we were still thinking about whether or not we were going to adopt her, because it's an animal rescue, so they're interviewing us, and they said, well, you know, she's a herding dog, and some of them, the herding instinct is so strong that if they don't have anything to herd, they'll try to herd you.
That's what my healer did when he was alive.
And my response to that was, I have 7 cats. We can keep her busy. like I said, she's not trying to herd the cats yet, but she's still, she's still getting used to where she is. And
has she had any of the I'm still nervous throw ups or poops or anything yet?
Poops, yes. She's holding it in. So she doesn't. We've walked her dozens and dozens and dozens of time, and she just walks around with her tail between her legs, and then in the middle of the night, she comes slinking into the room like, I did something bad.
Oh no.
So
my daughter does that. Maybe I need to walk her.
Yeah,
probably. Yeah,
I don't know. Who knows? It might work. We're going through some growing pains, but we've now got a dog. So, and she is highly, highly food motivated, which I can see being a problem.
I mean, I understand. I'm food motivated also, so I get it.
Yeah, I get it.
So I'm going to mansplain for a minute because my previous dog was a two herding breeds together. He was a Corgi Healer mix. Most of the herding breeds and all of the hounds, you can't just leave food out for them. You have to feed them or they'll hork at all.
Right. Yeah, we've learned that lesson. we have learned that lesson. Anything.
Okay.
She hasn't quite learned what oops means yet, so we got to work on that because she needs to know what oops means. That's her job. But but any food left out. And so we've had to put cat food up on a higher level where she can't get to it. And
are your cats all like tree cats? They like climbing and stuff, so that wouldn't bother them?
Most of them, yeah.
Oh, good.
And like I said, the one that she had a run in with this afternoon is, you know, completely non-fazed by the fact that there's a dog in the house. She just doesn't want to be messed with. And so, you know, came around a corner, got too close to her, and got bitch slapped in the face for her trouble. And it's really funny to see her run to the other side of the house away from a cat that's like a third her weight.
Yeah, but the thing is dogs aren't obligate carnivores like cats are. So, like, cats are like way more of a predator than a dog is.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
They got that boss energy, you know.
Yeah, she picked on one of the cats that's definitely large and in charge. Well, didn't pick on, but she had a run in on one of the cats that's large and in charge. She also is a stray we adopted. She's a shipyard cat.
Nice.
So she don't take crap off nobody.
Yeah, the very first pet I ever had with my wife was a Maine Coon, and that cat was a dog.
Yeah. Now, I have a big orange Maine Coon.
Oh, you know.
Who is the world's largest chicken shit.
Yep, that tracks.
He is literally scared of everything up to and including his own shadow.
And it's funny because they're just so big.
Yeah, he's huge. He's twice as big as any other cat in the house. And he's scared of all of them. So,
yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Our cats are upstairs and dogs are downstairs generally. And so a couple years ago, well, actually 4 years ago now, when we were renovating our downstairs, we were all living upstairs right at the beginning of the pandemic. And we had basically a sink, a microwave, and a toaster oven as our kitchen within kitchen within our living room. And so our dogs were now in the cat space. And so our golden retriever would get up on the window seat where Daisy, who just recently passed away, that's where she liked to hang out. And so she would just beat the snot out of him every time he came up there. So you had this giant 100-pound golden retriever. And every time he hopped up there, this like 8-pound cat would just pound him on the nose with her front paws and hiss at him until he would get off. It was the funniest thing.
Was she using claws or was she just boxing him like, stop it?
She didn't have claws. Now, that may get some of our British listeners really angry at me or something, but she was fine with that. She really didn't care about not having claws. I mean,
if she's an indoor cat, there's no risk there. Yeah. So,
yeah. No, our cats were all indoor cats. And,
nice.
Yeah. So, and now Chubbs is beginning to actually explore the downstairs now that he's all alone upstairs. So he's been kind of pushing the limits whenever the Golden's asleep, which is fun. So,
yeah, it leads to some interesting interactions.
Yes. He was trapped in our closet in our bedroom because he managed to make it that far one day and was afraid to leave it.
Poor thing.
Oh, that's sad and funny at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a funny cat because he's kind of like a ninja. So.
All right. So what do you say we do a squad update? Who wants to give me a sound effect?
Thank you.
Squadron update.
There we go.
I didn't like any of that.
Get over it.
You could have done it, Teflon, if you wanted to. All right, so...
If I wanted to, I would have done it.
I'm sure it would have been beautiful.
It wouldn't have. I'm sorry to interrupt. You go right ahead.
You're no interruption. So CompAttack is ours. It's a new system. We just conquered it yesterday.
Woohoo!
The war in Graham continues, and we want to win it. There's an election in Kalarium, and like all things Kalarium, we're just ignoring it and eating popcorn.
Good luck.
We're expanding out of Kama, and we're anticipating landing in 5 Andromeda, so my vanity project continues.
Adding to the collection.
Yes.
We want all the Andromedas.
We're trying.
I didn't know Elite was a deck-building game.
It is now.
Yeah. We're going for a inside straight.
Yes.
Okay, carry on. You're good.
Yeah. All right, our next expansion, again, will be out of Snooki's Ion. I still have some work to do in the target system, but I'm taking a break from that right now to fill up Grover Kiwi's fleet carrier with a ton of tritium. We need to raise our influence in Imlitui or something like that. It's got like 6% influence, so we need to get that up. And BD671409, which is one of our volatile systems that we control. Copian Zing, our newest system we expanded to, is a weird system, and Nurgle may want to expand on this a little bit later, but basically it only has one asset, and as a consequence, all the time that I've spent there in the last 2 weeks trying to push factions into wars with each other so we could then leapfrog them has been leading to no wars, and I've been going crazy. And so apparently we can push for control and just leapfrog everybody because there's only one asset. And so the only conflict that can happen is if one of the factions has an asset or something.
So in ages past, any time two factions equalized influence, they would fight either fight a war or have a election depending upon the conditions for that. And then in some change, and I forget what it was, it may have even actually been Horizons when they changed this, but they put in the requirement that in order for two factions to have a conflict, at least one of them has to own an asset to fight over. So if neither one of them controls anything, they just pass right by each other and they never have a conflict. It kept a lot of unnecessary conflicts from occurring around the bubble and locking things up.
So they basically tweaked the BGS to where if there's only one asset, everyone in the system is like, eh.
And I'll tell you, I've been doing this for a long time. This is the first system I've ever seen where there was only one asset, especially after Odyssey.
To be fair, a lot of the systems around us are actually pretty populated systems anyway, so.
Right. And Copian Zing is the first one I've ever seen that literally only has one asset. So we're free to pass by the 5 intervening factions between us and whoever's in control and go beat them about the noggin to take it.
That is so interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
It was just really weird. I felt like I was just going out of my mind. And, thankfully Nurgle saw my message and explained that to me the other day. HIP 4907 is overheating, so that will need a beatdown. Multiple systems are smoldering. I think it's just our continuous expansions are leading to a lot of boom states, a lot of good missions, a lot of people doing BGS. Yeah. Mighty Mondays and Thargoid Thursdays continue. And apparently, is there a bunch of people at HIP 11111?
That's what got posted.
Yeah.
I knew at least 3 that were going to be there, but they don't look like they're in voice. They might be in voice in a different Discord because it's a friend of one of our squad mates and he's bringing him over to fight Thargoids.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. All righty. Well, that's our squadron update. All the details are in standing orders and the Loose Screws faction channels of our Discord. And if you have any questions, reach out to any of us because we love to BGS.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So who wants to talk about today's Galnet? Crickets. All right.
I didn't read it. So
I will. Hold on. Need to stop in space. So TLDR of the Galnet is that Palin and Ramtaw are working on some specialized torpedoes to take out areas of the Titan that might make it increase its heat, which might, who knows, make it explode, make it retreat like normal things do, make it go super Thargoid Nova. I don't freaking know. All I know is I am all in on this. I don't care if it's a reused mechanic. This sounds fun.
And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, since the mechanic already exists for retreating megaships by blowing up their heat relays, that this is probably going to be the same mechanic, that it's not going to make them explode. It's going to make them leave.
Man.
I'm going to go for the long shot of Supernova Thargoid.
He just shit right in your Cheerios.
Right all over it, man.
He didn't even care.
I was on my way to lunch, and he was a seagull. Like, there he is. Bombs away.
All right. Well, let me restore your faith. Once this goes live, how many memes are there going to be about stay on target?
All.
And the memes will be stay on target.
In the dark future of 33010, there is only memes.
Except for memes that come from Blooming Wind. Those will be two torpedoes in the pink.
And one in the stink.
I had forgotten about that. Oh, my Lord.
That's why you need to read the standing orders, because exactly. It's chock full of stuff like that.
Well, I read them. I just forgot. Best goldfish, man.
Best subtitle for standing orders ever. Stay on target, two torpedoes of the pink.
Whatever you say, fat guy in an X-Wing.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Cover me, Porkins.
That should be the name of someone's ship now. Fat guy in an X-Wing.
I was going to go with Cover Me Porkins.
No, that sounds too dirty.
Exactly. Hence the basis of its appeal.
Well, Cover Me and Gravy Porkins.
Hey, I have some standards, however low they may be.
So the description of the CG said that this is a Guardian Nanite torpedo. So are we entirely comfortable with releasing Guardian Nanites into the universe?
I got one even better than that. I saw a post from one of my favorite elite tinfoilers on Reddit earlier today about how the Guardian Nanites are going to turn into the gray goo and destroy the whole universe.
Well, you know, Salvation is still out there merged with the Guardian AI somewhere, and what better to control nanites than a Guardian AI? I mean, hello.
Yeah, I don't think anything's going to happen. Well, I do think something's going to happen. I think we're going to heat up the Titans, and then at the bottom they're going to poop the biggest heat sink.
It's a heat sink made of caustic energy.
Yeah,
no, somebody, and we get to mine that.
Somebody on a Discord I was reading today said that the probability is that we're going to force them to retreat, not blow them up, and so that we will one by one force the Titans to go however many hundreds of light years away, and they'll land in another system, and then periodically you'll have invasions back in the bubble where some Titan will get repaired and come back, and you'll have to, there'll be like a community event to fight off the Thargoid Titan.
Right.
Which would be pretty cool if they do it, because then it preserves all of the mechanics for the Thargoid War, but they can bring it back as a limited time special event type of thing instead of something that drags out. And I think that's a pretty good idea.
Honestly, if that's what ends up happening, I would be perfectly happy with that personally.
Yeah. I mean, because prior to Thargoid War, when they had Thargoid invasions, those were always really popular. And, it's something that lasted for a couple of weeks or so until we fought them off. And it was, short. It was a fun event. Everybody loved it. And then now we're back to regular gameplay because you're not wearing out that game loop. And if they were to do the same thing with the Titans and make it, a month-long event, say, to recapture a couple of systems, fight your way into the Titan, overheat it, force it to retreat again, that's a nice, fun gameplay loop that they could roll out one or two times a year. That would just be fun for everybody to participate in without overwhelming everything else.
That'd be fun if they retreated to Desiat.
I'm down.
There was also speculation that they could possibly retreat to permit locked areas so that we can't interact with them. But wouldn't it be cool if maybe they retreated to a permit locked area and it unlocked that area?
I'd be down.
That would be great.
And then you could have like Thargoid power play just going on out there as they slowly, you know, take over some section of space.
Yeah, as they try and creep back towards the bubble, but from a little bit of a distance this time.
Right, right. Because I'm down. As soon as they made the announcement that the major feature update was going to be power play, my response was, of course it is. They just did a whole thing with the Thargoid War where they were basically testing new power play mechanics. Because how many times during, you know, the last year of the Thargoid War were we on the podcast talking about how this would be great if they implemented some stuff similar to this in BGS and or power play, some of the mechanics. So seems like that's what they were thinking all along.
I didn't actually read the Galnet, but I just previously watched Galnet update Wotherspoons and Betelgeuse. And they were talking about something about them all having to go off at once.
Oh, so yeah, what's the thing Canon is doing?
Yeah.
It wasn't about Canon's like setting off all the Guardian things, but they were talking about, yeah.
No, they were talking about the idea of doing a simultaneous attack on all of the Titans at once with as sort of the plan. So when I read that in the Galnet, the way I imagined it is what they would probably do is create 8 simultaneous community goals or of some form or something, and with the purpose of, you know, using this mechanic to force the retreats and hoping that they could motivate enough pilots to do enough of these heat vent torpedo events to force all of these to retreat simultaneously so that they can do their storyline, whatever's next. And whether it involves a Guardian or type thing, or it involves them moving to, you know, some other area of space to create a new mechanic for it, who knows? Or ground invasion. I'm waiting for ground invasion.
I think it's a missed opportunity if we don't have Thargoid ground combat.
Lark Shadow, you've turned off your targeting computer. What's the matter?
Screw you, that's why.
But yeah, I mean, I think, and I know we've said this before, and we're kind of beating a dead horse here, but if you've gone through all the trouble to have Odyssey where you have on foot, and then you did the Thargoid War after you launched Odyssey, it is a real missed opportunity not to have ground Thargoid combat to mix your big cinematic war with your brand new on foot update. I think is a missed opportunity.
Well, of course it is. And I think it is an opportunity they're going to miss just because of things that happened within the company at the same time.
And that's a very good point.
It just ended up being unfortunate timing, if you ask me.
You know, between the struggles they had launching Odyssey, which kind of pushed everything back, and then the internal corporate troubles, it may have been that was their plan, and they've just never been able to get to that point.
Yep.
Which still means it's a missed opportunity. Yeah, it's still a missed opportunity, but it's possibly an understandable missed opportunity.
Exactly.
Yeah. But given their predisposition for recycling, you know, old game loops and kind of reskinning them, redesigning and rejiggering them a little bit, how hard would it be to convert the combat zones that they have already in Odyssey to a bigger, badder, tougher target? Like, and then just, you know, either go the zombie mode or with a reskinned humans or throw in some other kind of creature on top of it.
And I will put my foot down and say, if you're going to do reskinned human Thargoid zombies, I would rather you not do it at all.
Yeah.
I'm fine people with human zombies.
I mean, even if you have to fight them differently or have some sort of different mechanic for them and, you know, potentially developing alien weaponry for it. I mean, it's all like kind of like little more hit points, different armor class, you know, things like that they did for Thargoid combat in space.
It's the same loop, just on foot. Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you're just going to do human zombies, don't. Even if they end up acting just like the human NPCs, you've got to make them Gargoyle creatures. You can't just do human zombies. That won't fly. That's, I would rather that they not do it. That's the plan. I reserve the right to be the only person who feels that way, but
I'm with you, Nurgle. I think, yeah.
Me and Grover over here in a corner saying no zombies.
I would join that club. I don't want zombies.
That's three of us. No zombies. No zombies are carrying the day.
That feels cliche.
And I feel fairly confident that Trax will agree with me on no zombies. I'm counting that vote. No zombies.
Oh, he's already been on the record with that.
I thought he had, but I didn't want to say that convincingly because I wasn't sure.
It would be crazy to have these unique aliens, and then it turns out like the ground version is just, oh, they're just like us.
Yeah, that would be a wasted potential to the point that I think that would piss people off more than get them excited about the game.
It definitely wouldn't want to make me fight them because, like,
yeah,
like there are way better first person shooters I could play where I fight human style enemies or zombies.
Yeah. Now, if you wanted to do like a Halloween special event where you had Thargoid zombie horde mode, you know, that's fun for a week. Yeah, let's do that. But that can't be the whole gameplay.
That's a good point too. I wouldn't be opposed to having them there if that's a thing that they can do. Is to have different types of the ground Thargoids, and one of them is like some type of virus that they or something that they use on their use on humans, and it makes like a human zombie type. That wouldn't be terrible to have that, but if to have that as an addition, but to have that as the only thing, to have that as the only thing or the main thing would be disappointing, in my opinion.
I'm just more disappointed that they've set the table for, you know, the whole they've kidnapped people, we've done all this infection control, and we're waiting for like the chest bursters to happen or something to happen with them, and they don't do anything with it other than, oh yeah, they're quarantined. Nothing bad happened. It's all good, and that's it. I mean,
I think the chest bursters are going to come after the Titans retreat.
Yeah,
it's going to be like good thing we solved all those problems. And then it's hello my baby, hello my honey, out of your friend's belly.
I understood that reference.
There have been storylines that we thought were going somewhere that just kind of dead-ended before. So it's entirely possible that all the storylines with the people rescued from Titans being in quarantine is just a red herring dead end. Or am I the only one who thinks that way?
I'm still thinking some of the changes that they've been talking about in the political spheres are a run up to this PowerPoint or Power Play 2.0.
Oh, definitely. You know,
when I brought it up like a year ago and I was like, oh, they're setting the table for new players in Power Play. I mean, I was mocked and I was scoffed and I was all the other things that people do, you know?
Well, but
you're crazy.
I still firmly believe that all they're going to do is change the faces on Hudson and Winters in terms of the actual power players. You're not going to see new factions and you're not going to see changes in that. I just don't see them doing that. What's going to change is the mechanics of how power play function in some way.
I think you might see a split in the Federation.
I think you're absolutely going to see a civil war in the Federation, and it's going to be glorious.
I would love to see that. Nothing in my prior experience with FDev makes me think they're going to go that route, because they I don't want to say lack the creativity, because that would not be the correct way to say it, but they don't think that way about the storyline. You follow me?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Oh. But I mean, we never thought Power Play 2.0 would come either.
That's
so.
Very true. Very true. And, you know, they've at least appear to have turned over a new leaf in terms of communicating and letting people know what's going on, which is great. You know, everything they announced for the coming year, I think, is wonderful. The devil is going to be in the details with, you know, how all this stuff comes out. But so far, they're off to a really good start, and I hope they continue with this. But I also don't know if their, you know, major feature change is going to be to power play from a mechanic side. How much do they want to mess with all of the wrappings at the same time? You know, that may be a fairly big bite to take.
True. Yeah,
they might have been doing a lot of this for a long time, and like with the current storyline around the earthquake and but nothing to see here, we don't need anything. Like, there's no reason for them to put that in Galnet if nothing's going to come of it. So,
well, but they've done that before. There have been, oh, by the way, storylines in Galnet that never really went anywhere. I do agree with you that this feels like something bigger, but I want to put it out there that they've done that before.
I feel like it honestly, to me, and I know this is a long shot, at least according to you guys, I think it is setting the table for an actual civil war in the Federation. Between Winters and Hudson.
I would love to see that.
As would I, because yeah. I would just start shooting at both of them for the lulls.
Well, then, because this brings us to a bigger point about power play and what the opportunity is here with restructuring power play. Because one of the biggest complaints about the current power play system is that there is no incentive for the various power play groups to fight each other. The way command points are structured for control systems, all of the good systems are already taken. They're on lockdown. The intervening spaces are full of systems that literally hurt you to take over because they take more command capital to maintain than they generate. So, and the actual structure of how power play works makes it very difficult to fight any type of control conflict. So all of the, you know, all of the functional parameters of power play are have landed in such a way that it disincentivizing power versus power conflict.
Now imagine a bunch of bullcrap happens in both the Empire and Federation, and suddenly all these leaders do have a reason to just fight, a la Thargoid war mechanics.
See, and that's why I'm really hoping, why I insist that the whole Thargoid war has been a test of new power play mechanics. Because if they can use some of the way for expansion and fighting off, use the Thargoid invasion mechanic, alert system and invasion mechanic, and being able to fight things off, maybe even having conflict zones along the contact line where you can go and do power play combat, that would be awesome. And it would incentivize people to participate in that. It would make the whole power play system more dynamic for people to engage in and be a bigger part of the game. Thoughts?
Sorry, I was blowing up an anaconda in my Viper Mark IV.
Make BGS very interesting because if you have a much, much more dynamic power play system going on, it's going to definitely potentially have the potential to affect what's going on with, you know, native faction or factions in those systems where things are going on.
As a corporate government type, Loose Screws Network suddenly has a vested interest in not only remaining allies with Li Yongri, but in fighting for their cause to help keep our own space safe as well.
Right. Correct. And there's got to be some way we could potentially at that point also spread the good word of corporate governance.
Exactly.
Some of these other places where that they're not. We're stalemated in a lot of different directions because we don't want to disrupt power play because we're friends with these people.
Right. It has to incentivize not necessarily conflict, but at least a more dynamic universe where things are at least constantly changing along the edges. so that there's engagement and there's things for people to do that actually have a meaningful impact as part of that engagement.
I just had a fun thought.
What's that?
Let's say, killing a clipper now, you're welcome, Trax. Let's say that we are right about those are the mechanics coming to power play, blah, 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 all down the line, right?
Okay.
Here's a fun question. What does that do to Colonia?
Well, there's no power play out there. So probably nothing.
Might there be after the fact? That's my question. Because suddenly the Colonia Council can become their own power because they're the only ones out there.
Well, you'd have to, in order to make it interesting, you'd have to put a second power of some kind out there.
Exactly. It'd probably be pirates of some sort because, you know, Colonia.
I see. But that would be interesting.
I'm just floating that out there because, you know, that would make Colonia very interesting.
And what if later down the road we took, you know, again, the existing Thargoid war mechanics, soon to be probably the power play mechanics, and took that to a smaller level and used those same mechanics as a way to expand into currently unoccupied systems?
Exactly, a la new mechanic, a la maybe making outposts and stuff.
Right. So, you know, if you had, say...
It all does tie together nicely when you think of it that way.
Right, because all of the mechanics build can be used...
And there's your end game
to do
right
similar
there.
Things, right. You know, and you would have to make it really, you know, a big deal to push some system into, you know... Into, I'll call it colonization, because in the game files for system states, there is a system state for colonization. It's unused currently because there's no such thing as colonization.
Mm-hmm. Like they thought of it forever ago and it just got shelved for whatever reason, and now right. Here we are.
So what if down the line there is a method similar to the way we expand systems now, where you could push a system into a colonization and it would go to a nearby unoccupied system?
Condition: must achieve 90% influence in the system.
I am not a fan of the current influence system. I think that they need to adapt more of the power play model for the BGS, where you do specific things to push a system into expansion, even to the point where you would prepare a target.
Yeah, exactly.
So that it's not just us pump your influence up and it's going to go somewhere, so that there's more strategy involved, and make it harder to do. It needs to be, you know, it's ridiculously easy to force an expansion now in a lot of places. And I think it needs to be, you need to put the brakes on it and slow it down and make it more of an intentional process. And again, they've already established in the Thargoid War a series of mechanics that could be used to do that.
Yeah, the attack, save, cooldown, or conquered, cooldown, all of that right. stuff.
Yeah, and you could set these up like mini CGs where you're delivering goods and, you know, or moving in people with special missions, that you could set a special condition that is independent of influence, where you could create like a colonization or an expansion. And then influence just becomes who's in control of the system.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not kind of the overall mechanic for BGS.
I'd still be okay with that because it's still fun.
Yeah, it makes it much more interesting. It makes it much more of a thinking and planning and strategy game rather than a just pump the numbers up over here and let it go. Because I've always been a big fan. I don't like random expansion, because even from a simulation perspective, you know, you wouldn't have random expansion from a system. There would always be a plan, and this is where we're going to go.
Oh, sure you would. With the size of the bureaucracies in a space game like this, they would be expanding and expanding, and then the paperwork would end on someone's desk, and you'd be like, there.
Yeah, you do make a decent point. But again, I've always wanted that to be more of a conscious, directed effort rather than just something that randomly happens when you pump up the influence.
Right.
and I want there to be work on the other end that, much like the preparation function that's part of current power play, to move that to the BGS where you prep a target system for where you're going to go.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah, I think that's a needed change. Now, whether or not we actually see it is an entirely different question. All right, how long have we been going at this? We've been going at this for an hour now. So, is there anything else we need to touch on, or do we need to go ahead and wrap this thing up?
Oh, I was preparing to jump out of the Hazrez on my way out. A random Asp Explorer started shooting at me, so you know.
So you're shooting back?
Oh yeah, and how?
A random Asp Explorer wanted to commit suicide.
Exactly.
Random Asp Explorer didn't know my Viper Mark IV is the most engineered ship I own.
So one last question before we close this out. Update 18 is coming February 26th, so about 11 days away. Do we get a new ship in this update?
I'm taking the under on that. I don't think the Python Mark II will come in this update, but I think it will be part of like update 18.01 or something. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like they'll sneak it in with one of the just stability updates.
Well, I think what's going to happen is I agree with Lark Shadow. I think it's going to be a community goal though. Ooh. Where it's like we're going to get like some sort of Falcon de Lacy is, you know, seeking, you know, all sorts of materials, you know.
Yeah, see, that's where I was headed.
And the top...
Those goals are going to get done so damn fast.
Well, yeah, and it's going to be like the top 5% or some crap like that's going to get a Python Mark II, and then everyone else is going to get like a
Paint.
Sidefinder.
And, but that'll make it available so that other people can go and buy it.
Oh, yeah.
So,
all I'm saying is if they make that a community goal, it's going to be Falcon de Lacy announces and it's done.
It is complete. Yeah. Big question is, you know, they said they're going to release four new ships, variants of existing ships. So actually two questions. One, do they do those all four at the same time or do they spread it out?
I think it's spread out.
I hope it's spread out. Individual community goals for each of them would be awesome.
And if I had to put money on it, I would think that the next variant we are going to get is going to be from Lacon. And it's either going to be a bigger, more civilian version of the C-Series or a branch off from the Type 7 to make it more combat-oriented.
How many manufacturers are there?
About five or six.
I believe six.
Is it that many?
Yeah.
Falcon de Lacy... I'm doing this from memory. Bear with me.
Valkyrga.
Falcon de Lacy, Lacon, Zorgon Peterson, Gudemaya.
Yeah.
Sald Kruger.
Core Dynamics.
Core Dynamics.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Zorgon Peterson are like the Lexus of Falcon de Lacy. It's like
Falcon de Lacy is Kia, then Zorgon Peterson is Hyundai.
So I'm going to go out on a limb here and say there's not going to be a new Sald Kruger ship because those are all liners.
I hope there is a new Gudemaya ship and it's medium.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be a new Gudemaya ship.
Honestly, I'm kind of on your side, but I'm like just barely over that line. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I hope there is too, because I love the Gudemaya ships, but I don't think there's going to be. And that's because that leaves four manufacturers. And you could have a variant from each of those four, each one getting one variant.
Well, some of those are owned by others. Like it was said, Falcon de Lacy owns Zorgon Peterson. Right, so I don't think we'll see a new Zorgon Peterson.
Talk of a mini Mamba.
Maybe that's what the Python Mark II is. Who knows?
I mean, it might be.
Well, see, that's my worry.
Yeah, that leads me to my next question. So we know the Python Mark II is going to be one of the four. What are the other three?
One of them has to be Lacon. which one it is on Lycon, I don't know.
The question is, what is it?
Yeah.
Panther Clipper.
As for the other two, I have no idea.
Well, I have a strong suspicion. And I'm glad he said that, because that was something I wanted to talk about. I have a very strong suspicion that one of the variants is going to be a variant of the Type 9 that's going to be called the Panther Clipper.
Wouldn't that be freaking hilarious if that was the very last one?
Or maybe a variant of the Anaconda, but I think it's going to be a variant of the Type 9.
And all it is they took a Type 9 and smashed another Type 9 into the back of it and called it a day.
Right, yeah, it'll be like mirrored Type 9s or something.
Maybe put some wiggly wings on the side from the keelback.
It'll be big and slow and handle like a pig stuck in mud and just have a metric ass ton of cargo.
And everyone will fly it.
It's stupid with a huge ass.
Yeah. It will be absolutely useless for everything except cargo, and not extremely useful for that because it'll have a jump range for shit.
It'll be a shipping crate is what it is.
Yeah.
In space.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's my worry with all of these, because they're doing variants of the ships. And I just worry that they've had so few resources to develop the stuff that we're actually going to get the same cockpits.
Oh, that's fine.
Oh, I'm sure we will. I'm sure the cockpit view, I mean, one of the reasons they're doing variants is because it doesn't require a lot of resources.
They don't have to draw a lot of new things.
Right. They're rearranging the internals, which are entries in a database, and then they're putting a new skin on. So the only real assets they have to develop are the new externals.
Type 10, yeah. Go!
And that's, I mean, and yes, yeah. People are going to say that's the lazy way to add new ships, and that is a completely valid statement. However, it's still new ships, and there is nothing wrong with getting new ships.
Yeah, I'm like, don't care, new ships. That's where I'm at.
I don't care at all that they are variants of an existing ship. I'll take it, and I'll be happy about it.
I still want them.
I still want them, exactly. Don't get me wrong. I want new ships, too, but hey.
I mean, the other thing that I would like to see is if they could kind of, show a little love to the lore. And I don't know how much memory other than David Braben in the, as far as their programmers go. But, there was a BOA back in the original.
Yes.
There was a mission that you could unlock. And that mission you could unlock was going to try to find it was a test ship. It was a experimental ship that was called the Constrictor, and it was a combat ship, and it was really cool. And it was probably the hardest fight you have in the game to defeat it. And I mean, if they basically had a Constrictor, that would be really great.
So if they had a Constrictor, would you say that would be a Cobra Mark V or a Viper Mark V? Just based on how both of those ships are, because the Mark IVs of both are actually pretty similar in combat profile.
It would probably be a Cobra Mark V type thing. I mean, it'd nice. Be like if a Mamba and a Cobra Mark III had an unholy love child, then that's
what I'd fly it.
yeah.
Lock Shadow intensifies.
Yeah, basically. Something ridiculous and it goes fast. I'm in.
Clean drives.
my question is it fast enough for me? Can I face tank in it? And does it look cool? If it meets those three things, I'm good.
Can I fly it with clean drives, cannons, and an SRV bay?
Dang straight. They see me rolling.
You're nothing if not consistent, my friend. All right, let's take this to the house. Any closing thoughts before we wrap this up?
Cheesecake.
That's a good thought. Teflon, you wanna kick in Tefbot, or are we gonna do this without you?
You're gonna have to do it without Tefbot. He's down for maintenance.
You've been away for a while, and you let Tefbot rust out on the back porch, didn't you?
I did. I totally left him out on the back porch.
To be fair, Tefbot deserved it.
He's a subscription plan. That's darker than you think. That rings up a whole bunch of things that we probably don't want to talk about.
He's actually not a subscription plan. It was a one-time payment to get a lifetime of the service.
I was going to say, I can launch a Cyberpunk Ethics plan if you want.
That doesn't make it very much better.
Lifetime in the air quotes.
Yeah. Whose lifetime? Yeah.
So are we launching into Cyberpunk Ethics, or are we leaving that one alone?
We're leaving that one alone. We're not going to touch that one. All right, so let's wrap this. Hey, the disclaimer is not here at the bottom anymore. I'm going to have to do this from memory.
Yeah, off road.
Yeah, we're off-roading. We're winging this.
If we're improving now, all right, let's do this.
Because we always have a script before.
I know, and my script's not there. That's not right. I have to do this from memory, and I don't have a good memory. So please join us on Discord. Check us out at the merch store. We have
cups and other things that aren't breaking up when they try and talk on Discord, like sometimes happens to Nurgles. And check out the other Elite podcasts.
Our Discord and Treon are all boots.
Nurgle.
So for Nurgle's Commander Blooming Wind, Commander. Yes.
Hey, you're doing a Tefbot impression.
It was excellent. Let's just leave it in. Don't even say it again. And he's gone again. For Nurgle, Teflon, Grover, and Blooming Wind, and myself, Commander Lark Shadow, we bid you all fly safe. And if you can't fly safe, fly stupid. Good night, everybody.
Good night.